heed what he says. Verse 9 and following. Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things that they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. For this cause, reprove them severely that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Well, the title of the sermon today is simply this, Correct False Teachers. And in verse number 9, we concluded there last week with the list of the qualifications of elders, and this has to do with both pastors and elders in the church, and that we are indeed called upon by the Lord to be men of the word. And the only way we can both exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict is to be rooted and grounded in the Lord and his word. That means that we have to spend a lot of time in his word, learning his word, grasping what it understands, and passing that on to others, as well as modeling for you what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow him as Lord in obedience. Well, this is what is the Lord himself puts upon us, who are pastors and elders in the church. And it's extremely important, this concept of sound doctrine. I hope you picked up on that in verse number 9. We are to exhort, be able to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. And again, sound doctrine is simply biblical truth, that which God says in his word. And it's so important that that's what we, the people of God, need to hear. And again, we don't need to hear the ideas of men or commandments of men or myths or other things. We need to hear the word of God. We need to be exposed to the word of God. We need to study it on our own. We need to meditate upon it. We need to think about it, pray about it. We need to memorize it, and we need to be where it's taught and proclaimed. And I'm one that is absolutely convinced that every church should have pastors and elders who are men of the word, who are able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. This word of God is extremely important, and it's important for a couple of reasons. Well, first of all, let's go back to 1 Timothy, and I want to walk us through these pastoral letters to remind us again of how many times this concept of sound doctrine comes up and how it's applied to those of us who are pastors and preachers. It's not something that is take it or leave it, so to speak. It's not optional. That's the word I was looking for. But it's an absolute must concerning pastors and what we do. First of all, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. And it says, and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. And we know that we hear a lot about this kind of immorality all around us. It's shocking to me that even a channel like Hallmark on TV and a lot of the movies or things they put on there are good and ethically above board, but they've even lapsed now into the cultural idea that homosexuality is okay. It's just another lifestyle. And so if you look at that channel and watch some of those movies, don't be surprised if that comes up. And it really does. And there are others who are promoting that on their TV shows. We thought we would be interested in one in particular last week, and we tuned in on that when it came on. And the first thing out of that celebrity's mouth was promoting LGBTQ or whatever those letters are, and we all know what that stands for, although I might not get all the letters right, but I know what it's about. And I thought to myself, I'm not watching this. This is no good. A person that is promoting that is promoting something that's an abomination according to Almighty God, and that shouldn't even be allowed on TV, much less be promoted as though it's okay. Well, this is the world that we live in. Well, turn with me to 1 Timothy 4, verse number 6. Chapter 4, verse number 6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of faith and of sound doctrine, which you have been following. And so we should follow sound doctrine. Chapter 6, 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has a morbid interest in controversial questions, and it goes on so forth. But this concept of sound words, sound doctrine, sound teaching is what we are to be about. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words, which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So again, the Apostle Paul, inspired of God, reminding young Timothy time and time and time and time again that he is to be committed to teaching and preaching sound words, sound teaching, sound doctrine, that which is biblical truth. 2 Timothy, also chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. And here we are commanded to preach the word. Not simply our ideas or suggestions or cultural beliefs, that sort of thing. We'll preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And certainly we're living in that day and age. And sad to say, there are even many churches who have set aside the word of God and who are doing all sorts of other things, everything but teaching and preaching the word of God as we have been commanded to do. Well, I'm thankful that Covenant Presbyterian Church in Miller's Creek is a church committed to the word of the living God. We accept it for what it is. It is God's word. And we acknowledge that. And we don't hesitate to acknowledge that. Well, back to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 9. Again, we are to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. And so it is, time and time and time again, to us pastors. God has given us these instructions, and he will hold us accountable for what we do concerning his word and the preaching of it. Now, one of the reasons this is important, turn with me back to Isaiah chapter number 55. There are two reasons why it's important. First of all, I'm going to give us the positive reason. Then we'll come back to Titus and get the negative reason. Sound doctrine, biblical truth, is extremely important because of what we read in Isaiah 55, pick it up at verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. And so that's why it's important for us to preach the word. It does not return to the Lord empty. Every time we are exposed to the word, regardless of how we're exposed to it, whether it's reading it, studying it, hearing someone else teach it, or hearing it read and preached, it accomplishes what God desires for it to accomplish in the life of every person who hears it. That's why it's important that we give out the word of God, that we teach it and proclaim it. God will do what he wants to do in the lives of the people who are exposed to it. And even when those who are lost and dead in their trespasses and sins, it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that God the Holy Spirit uses to convict people of their sin and to convince them that they need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be forgiven, in order to be saved. And it's all about the word, the truth of the living God. It's all about biblical truth. And so that's why it's important for us to be locked into and teaching and preaching sound doctrine, biblical truth. Now let's go back to Titus. This is the negative side of why we need to do that. Verse 10 gives us the negative reason for giving out the word of God for sound doctrine. Verse 10, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. So there are a lot of false teachers out there. And the only way we will not buy into their deceptions is if we know the truth. And God himself has even said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And if we know the truth of the word of the living God, we will not be deceived by some, well, how do I put this? By someone trying to persuade us otherwise. There are a lot of those out there. In fact, my biggest criticism of many evangelicals who profess faith in Christ is that many of them are ignorant when it comes to the content in the 66 books of the Bible. And that survey that Ligonier Ministries did evidences that truth with some 53% saying that they really don't believe that the Bible is the absolute truth or the word of the living God. And that's among evangelicals. That's a sad, sad thing. Well, thankfully, we're not one of those churches. But yet they're out there and they're rebellious men. They're empty talkers. They're deceivers. And he says, goes on to say, especially those of the circumcision. Now, I'm convinced that he's talking there about Jewish men in the city of Crete. That's where the apostle left Titus back at verse 5. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you might put in order what remains and appoint elders in every city. He understood the importance of how the church is to be organized and how it's to be led and overseen by elders who meet these qualifications. They're obviously called of God, gifted of God. They have the people of God's best interests in mind. They are concerned about the truth of the word of God being taught and proclaimed to God's people, as he has already commanded us to do. And they're committed to that. And so that's the way it should be in the church. But they're rebellious men, empty talkers, they're deceivers, and those of the circumcision. And you could go back and read the book of Acts. Well, even farther back than that, read the Gospels and how those Jewish people opposed the Lord Jesus and what he taught, and how they opposed the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts and the gospel he was committed to, and the biblical truth and sound doctrine he was committed to preaching and teaching, and yet met with a lot of opposition because of that. And we're living in a day and age where there are those in our culture who are opposing Christians and our beliefs and even our behavior. And so that's the way it's been. That's the way it will be. Jesus said, they persecuted me before they persecuted you. And if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Don't be surprised or shocked at that. Those who are not yet born again of the Spirit of God hate the Lord God Almighty. They hate his word, and they hate those of us who believe in him and follow him. And that's just the reality of the world in which we live. Deceivers. Deceivers. They want to deceive us. Well, verse 11, he goes on to say, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. Now, he doesn't tell us exactly what they're teaching, but he does tell us the reason they're doing it. The reason they're doing it is for dishonest gain. That's what sordid gain means. It's dishonest. It's dirty. It's unclean. It's revolting. It's vile. It's obscene. It's wicked. It's despicable. It's foul. What they're doing to get money in their hand or their pocket. And I'll tell you, you don't have to go far to run across some of them. You go through those channels on TV. Don't let them deceive you. But I'll tell you, they're not there for your benefit. They are there for their benefit. And they want to persuade you to give them money. They're in it for sordid gain. One of them, verse 12, one of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. And the apostle goes on to say, this statement is true. There are those in the city of Crete who are exactly like that. They are liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. And he goes on to say, for this cause, reprove them severely. False teachers need to be reproved and corrected severely. When they're upsetting whole families, when they're doing what they're doing for their own good, for sordid gain, approve them severely. Why? That they may be sound in the faith. Seek to win them over. Seek to correct them. Seek to show them sound doctrine, biblical truth, with the hope and prayer that God the Holy Spirit will use that to change them. And we know God alone, in the person of the Holy Spirit, is the one who changes people. He moves us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He enables us to put aside those worldly, unbelieving things that we used to believe and go by, and embrace the truth of his word. And our conduct is becoming to those who are born again of the Spirit of God and those who are the children of God. We are indeed different from those who are in the world, those who are lost and dead in their trespasses and sins. Verse 14, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. And obviously, There was a lot of that going on. And even in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul was inspired to write to that church, saying to them and warning them about the commandments of men. And we don't need to abide by the commandments of men. We need to abide by what God says in his word and what he commands. Now, if men command the same thing, then I'd say, yeah, we need to do that because they're speaking biblical truth and telling us the truth, and we need to embrace it. But if they're commanding us to do something that God does not command us to do, then we need to set men's commandments aside and not do what they say. There's a good example of that in Acts chapter 5, where they commanded those who were preaching the gospel to speak in the name of Jesus no more. And their response was, we must obey God rather than man. And that's what the apostle is inspired to tell Timothy and instruct him to do here in this letter to him. He goes on to say in verse 15, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience is defiled. And again, he draws this line between these two types of people. Those who are saved or believing, those who are lost in their sins, dead in their trespasses and sins, who are unbelieving when it comes to the Lord and his word. And there is as much difference in those two groups as there is night and day. And we need to understand that. We need to live the life of believers, and we need to confront the lives of the unbelievers and to seek to share the gospel with them and to get the gospel to as many as we can, knowing that that's the power of God and through salvation. And if he doesn't change them, they'll never be changed. We cannot change them. We cannot convince them or persuade them to believe like we do. Only God can do that. But we can share the truth of his word with them, and that's what we should be doing. And that's what he uses to convict and convince them and to bring them out of darkness into his marvelous light. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. And notice verse 16. They profess, now these false teachers and these Cretans that he's been talking about in these previous verses, they profess to know God, just like they did in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels, just like they did in the day of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. They profess to know God. They say, we believe in God. He is our God. But notice what God says here about them. But by their deeds, they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. And there's example after example after example of that in the Gospels as they responded to the Lord Jesus Christ, and example after example and after example of that in the chapters in the book of Acts concerning the way they responded to the Apostle Paul and those who were with him. Bottom line is simply this: unbelievers, I don't care what they say. They may say they know God. They may say they believe in God. And I've even heard those who are involved in homosexuality to say, my quote unquote, my relationship with God is okay. But we know it isn't. But by their deeds, they deny him, being detestable, being disobedient, worthless for any good deed. Now notice chapter 2, verse 1. I'll close by just reading this. But as for you, and here the apostle is writing this to Titus, Titus, as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Lord willing, we'll pick it up there next Lord's Day. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, our heavenly